I picked one up and looked at the East German imprint, printed in the Deutsche Demokratische Republik. "Let me tell you about some other freedoms," said Wilhelm. "We have seminaries here that do not turn out politicians, they turn out Christians. We have evangelical campaigns that draw thousands. We have a move within the Lutheran Church that is as forceful, I would venture, as anything you can find in Holland." "But you said you needed encouragement." Suddenly Wilhelm's fists clenched. I saw the knuckles go white. "We're fighting one of the most important battles in Europe. Here in Germany the communists are trying out a new kind of persuasion, in my mind far more dangerous than outright persecution. Could you come with me to today's meeting of our synod? You'll see for yourself what I'm talking about." I suggested that he come with me in my car, and Ma smiled at me gratefully. "It's that awful motorbike," she said. "That's what makes him cough. Thousands of kilometers in all kinds of weather, and the doctor told him 2 years ago to stay out of draughts." Wilhelm patted her hand. "Ma worries," he told me apologetically. "But if you want to reach young people all over the country, what can you do?" In the car he went back to his subject. "It would be we Germans who caught on first," Wilhelm said. "You can't use strong-arm tactics against the church without strengthening it. It's always been that way. Under persecution a man looks at his faith to see if it's worth fighting for, and this is a scrutiny Christianity can always withstand. The real danger comes with an indirect attack, where a person is lured away from the church before he has a chance to become strong. Keep this in mind while you listen today." This synod meeting had been called to consider the problem that they called the counterfeit church. Pastor after pastor got up and read off statistics that at first I did not understand. Welcoming service, 35%. Youth consecration, 55%. Marriage, 45%. Funeral, 50%. But as Wilhelm whispered the explanation of these figures, the enormity of the plan began to emerge. Realizing that it was getting nowhere in its frontal attack against the church, the regime had taken a new direction. For God and the religious instinct, it was attempting to substitute the state and the emotion of patriotism. Using the ancient wisdom of the church, it was offering state ceremonies in frank imitation of Christian rites. There was, for example, an alternative to baptism that went under the attractive name of welcoming service. At the time that a baby's name was officially registered, relatives and friends were invited to a celebration. The infant was brought forward by the parents to an official of the government, who received him with due ceremony as a new member of the state. And there was the state marriage service. On the continent, it is customary to have two marriages, a legal one performed by a government official and a sacramental one held in a church.